Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
So I want to encourage all of you to listen to the Word of God and listen to the heart of the shepherd of the church. Today, I would like to share with you continue the teaching in the area of church family. I have a burden to share this with you because I believe that God really wants to build a loving family, not only in Seattle, but all over the world. And we want to line up our thoughts, our behavior and habits with the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard, is the final authority. If you hear any voice in your heart or in your mind, but the voice doesn't go along with the Word of God, that is not from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The voice of the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. And when you interpret the Word of God, when you read the Bible and you interpret the Word of God, you need to make sure that your interpretation is in the context of the whole Bible. Don't pick up one verse and try to interpret on your own agenda. Amen. This is dangerous. We don't just pick up a verse and then we just interpret whatever we want. We need to look at the whole Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, what God wants to say to His people. So that's what we try to do in our church here. We want to make sure that we are honest and we are faithful to the Word of God. Amen. I'd like to read this scripture to you. But before we read this scripture, I'd like you to confess with me right now. Confession. Have it there, up there. So that people can confess with me. Do you have it? Okay. You find it? I want you to confess with me. Is it up there yet? Okay, why don't you follow what I say then? Technological problem. I believe and confess that God's Word produces change, generates life, creates faith, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, transform circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, builds character, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses my mind, brings things into being, and guarantees my future forever. Everyone say amen. Amen. Do you believe that the Word of God is powerful?
Yes.
Amen. Are you open up your heart to receive the Word of God right now?
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Everyone say house of God.
House of God.
The Bible compares the church to the house of God. And it's amazing. All the letters after the book of Acts on, book of Romans to the book of Revelation, God inspired His servant to write principle, to write and teach Christians how to conduct themselves in the house of God. So God put a lot of emphasis on how we live together in the house or in the family of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, the Bible says that after we accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, repent of our sin, we become citizens of heaven. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I am a citizen, of heaven. Not only that, you are a member of God's household. Let's look at what the Bible says. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens unto the saints and members of the households of God. In other words, God expects every Christian to be a member. Do you know that the word membership comes from the Bible? Amen. God wants us to be a member of a household of God or a local congregation. I like what Jesus said, like what God said in the Bible here, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man should be alone. I thank God for that. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Thank God that God doesn't want a man to be alone. So in other words, God created all of us to have a relationship. Is that right? God formed us for a family. God wants Adam and Eve to have a family. And the same thing in the spiritual life, we need to have a family. God fashioned us so that we can have fellowship. God doesn't want us to be alone. God doesn't want us to be a loner Christian, a spiritual hermit, or a solitary Christian roaming around from church to church, from one meeting to another meeting, without being committed to a house of God. God wants us to root ourselves into a family, into a church. God doesn't want us to just be independent, just flying around everywhere and never commit ourselves to anywhere. If you read the scripture carefully, you're going to see the word together a lot of times in the Bible. I give you an example. You know, you may think why he reads so many Bible verses, because I love the Bible. And this is the way I preach. I preach by reading a lot of verses in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 12:12 said, the human body has many parts. Everybody say many parts. Ephesians 2:21-22 say, we who believe are carefully joined together. Everyone say, joined together. You see, the Bible talks about together. Ephesians 3:6 says, this mystery is that through the gospel of the Gentile are heirs together. Everyone say, heirs together. God doesn't have the idea of loner Christian or solitary Christian. God say together. Members together. Everyone say members together. And sharers together. Ephesians 4:16, for him the whole body joined and held together. Everyone say together. Colossians 2:19, he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body supported and held together. Everyone say supported. And held together. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, after that we who are still alive and left will be caught up together. Are you glad that we're going to be caught up into heaven together? Everyone say caught up together. I'm going to go up with Pastor Da. We're going to join hands, go up together in heaven when Jesus comes back the second time. Amen. Are you excited that we're going to be together? And we're going to be together in the temple of God in heaven for eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Therefore, even though your faith in Christ Jesus is very personal, it's a personal decision, but your Christian walk is not private. You have to be together. You belong to one another in the house of God. You are members for one another. You need to be in the house of God. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let's say at the same time, I belong to you and you belong to me. We belong to each other. Amen. We are members of one another. Amen. So we are in the same house together. Do you know that the word membership come from the Bible? But the world try to dilute it, try to reduce its true meaning. Like, I give you an example. I am a member of a store that have a gasoline station. So every time I go there, I will pull out a red card and put in that gas tank so that I can get about 3 cents reduced price because I'm a member of that store. How many people use that card? You know what I'm talking about. So they get you into be membership so that you can get a discount. Or some company want you to be a member. This you sign up to internet so that they can put your name, your email address, and your address for their mailing list. So they can send the product to you, send the things to you. They just want to earn money out of you to be a member. But that is the worldly thinking about membership. We're going to look at the word membership in the Bible together. When we become members of the household of God, what God say in the Bible? God say that the member or become a part of the church means to be a vital organ or vital part of the body. Let me ask this question. How many people want a doctor to cut your ear off? Raise your hand up. How many people want a doctor to cut your nose off? Raise your hand up. Is nose important? Huh? Nose is important. How many people want a doctor to cut your hair off? I cut hair off all the time. I'm expert in cutting the hair. We have clipper in the operating room and I cut the hair off very fast. I have only one hairstyle though. Bald. There's one hairstyle. Cut the whole hair, come out the whole head, become bald. So, you see, you don't want somebody to cut any part of your body out because each organ, each part of your body is very vital for you. It's needed. It's interconnected with another part of the body. It's indispensable. Amen? So, the same thing, you and me are indispensable members of the church. You are important to the body here. The church is the body, not a building. A church is an organism, it's not an organization. You know, many times, if I have to make choice, to make decision about church issue, between thinking organizationally and family, I tend to choose making decision on the family side, not on organizational side. Many times in this church, when I have to make a major decision regarding somebody in the church, you know, if your organization, go by organization, somebody make mistake, you fire them, you cut their salary. But in a family, you don't do that way. You communicate, you talk, you try to work it out because we are a family. So the church is a family, it's not an organization. How many people understand my heart now that I want to follow the Bible? I want to have this church as a family, as a body. Amen? And every organ in your body fulfills its purpose. What is the purpose of the nose, having the nose? So that you will look beautiful? That's part of it. Amen. I like to have a big nose like some of you. Chinese people usually have a small nose. But I like to have a big nose like some of you. It look more beautiful, look more handsome. But nose is not just to help you look beautiful. The nose is for breathing the air in and also protect all the dust to come into your lung because you have hair inside. Is that right? The hair inside your nose and all the cell in your breathing tube has a job to get rid of all the dust and all the bacteria. You know the tonsil has a job too. You cut the tonsil off. The tonsil is a lymph gland that functions to kill the germs when you are young. Amen? So every part of your body has its function and a purpose. God put all these parts of your body for some reason. And you need to discover its function. The same thing we in the local church. Each of you has at least one function. You are here not just to consume. You're not here just to warm the seat. You all have a function to do in the local church because you are organ of the body. You need to function. If you don't function, if you don't do anything with what God created you to be, the church will suffer and you will suffer. Everyone will suffer. Amen. Let me read the Bible one more time. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, one more time. For as we have many members in one body, But all the members do not have the same function. We do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ. Individually members of one another. Amen. So we all have different functions. If you come to ask me, what can I do for you, Pastor? I want to serve you. My answer will be this. If you can serve brother and sister in the church, in the same care group, you already serve me. Amen. If you go to a care group and you help your care group leaders to prepare a communion tray, to arrange the chair, clean up the house, if you come and join worship team and help Pastor Kenny and Ben Johnson to be participating in the worship team, you serve me. You understand what I'm talking about? If you help the nursery program there, every weekday, week out, week in, week out, you help taking care of the babies in there, changing diapers, you are serving me and serving Jesus. I'm not equate myself to Jesus, but that's what I mean. That when you serve one another in the church, you are serving the whole church. Everyone will get benefit. Amen? You serve one another. When PJ and Jason serve the youth in the church, they're serving Pastor Da and me. And they're serving all of you. Amen. Because that's their role and their function in the church, to look after the youth in the church. We all have roles and function in the local church. And we need to find that roles. If you don't know your role, you need to find it as soon as possible. Maybe your role is to be encourager. Like Debbie. Debbie is an encourager. Every time I see your smile, bless my heart. Your presence on Sunday, your smile just bless my heart so much. You are an encourager. Amen. Just show up here. Already build my faith up. Amen. So you all have different functions. You need to understand that. The same thing, if what happened to your finger, if you cut your finger off from the body, what happened? What happened to the finger? You don't need to be in university to answer this question. You can be in the fourth grade. What happened to the finger?
Die.
The same thing. If a Christian cut himself off the church, leave the church and be on his own, have his own church in the house watching TV, TV program, preaching on the TV, without being in the local church, he cuts himself out of the bloodline of the body of Christ, and he will die one day. That's what the devil loves it. The devil loves to unplug Christian out of the church. Amen. So you're going to wither. You're going to start to die down in your faith. You need to be in the house of God. You need to commit yourself in the local church. Come to the gathering. You know, I want to tell you, I can tell one of the signs of people who are backsliding. People who are backsliding usually miss church and miss care group. If they don't like fellowship, they don't like to be around people, they try to avoid fellowship, talking to people, being in the local, being in the meeting, being in the service, I tell you right away that they are on the way out of their faith. Because Christian can keep faith burning inside by being together, by being in a fellowship. And sometimes God may not send you very nice people to burn your faith up. God may send you to somebody that really, really get on your nerve in a care group. You know, I want to tell you this. In the care group, it may not be nice all the time. Sometimes it's nice, but sometimes God may send somebody to really, really bother you. To train you to love people unconditionally. Amen. Because the church is not a social club. The church is the family. God knows that you are impatient. So God's going to send somebody to get on your nerve, to train you to become patient. Amen? So you should thank God. You thank God for those people to come in and stir you up and say, I just want to just get rid of this person. No. God wants to change your character first. God wants to deal with your attitudes. God wants to deal with your motive, your life first. Because if God cannot change you, he cannot use you in a powerful way. Amen. In fact, I admit that in the past 48 hours, God deal with me some issue, and I repented already. The prophet, Pastor John Jack, came here. During the meeting, the Holy Spirit was working inside me something that I repented. It's so good to, every time you come to a meeting, God is doing something inside you. Even though you may not be lay hand on, sometimes you don't, they don't even preach to you, they just preach to somebody else, but something happened inside that I had to repent and move on with God. Amen?
Amen.
So, God's purpose is to change you first before He can change other people. You know, sometimes the church we have this kind of attitude. You call elbow Christian. You know elbow Christian? This sermon is for you. You sit here, oh, Pastor Lau, that sermon is good for Mary Jo and Neil. They need this sermon. They need this. They need to repent. Mary Jo and Neil, God, they need to get the CD. No, 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 no. This sermon is for you.
Amen.
Don't be an elbow Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to the word of God for yourself.
Yes.
Don't listen to the word of God for somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So, you know, to become a member of a local church is a great privilege.
Yes.
Great privilege. I want to tell you why. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And also, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Another one, the church of Jesus Christ is His agenda, God's agenda. The church of Jesus Christ will last longer than any institution in the world. Microsoft will not last as long as the church. Boeing will not last as long as the church. One day when Jesus comes back, the only institution that will be left and last to eternity is the church. So to become a member of a local church, you are joining an everlasting institution.
Amen.
And it's an institution, or it's a body that no one can destroy.
Amen.
Amen. Pharaoh or Caesar or whoever the king of the world, even communism tried to destroy the church. They could not.
Amen.
The church will last to the end. It's the agenda of God. How many people want to join the agenda of God?
Yes.
I want to tell you this. If you build His house, He will build your house. If you get involved in building the house of God, He will build your house. He will take care of your needs.
Amen.
Building the house of God is the agenda of God. Pastor Da and I join this agenda. We want to be a part of building the house of God. So make up your mind today that I will be a part of building the house of God, which is the agenda of God. You can do anything you can to build the house of God. Use your talents, use your money, your time, your gifts, anything. Your ability to build the house of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to explain to you why we need the church family as a Christian. Why do we need a church family? Why God just get us saved and just stay by ourselves and we just stay home and watching TV and never go to any church or join any church? Why do we need the house of God? Let me read the first thing here. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. Exodus 19, 3 to 6. And Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." What happened to the Israel, children of Israel, is a type and a shadow to you. Children of Israel were set free from slavery in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the kingdom of darkness, slavery. When they came out, God said, come out from Egypt. And you know what is that destination? How many people know the destination of the children of Israel after they come out from Egypt? Tell me. What else? Promised land? Are you sure promised land? Let me read the Bible one more time. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. The destination of the children of Israel is not the promised land. A lot of Christians go to church, bless me, bless me, bless me. Consumer. If you don't bless me, I leave this church, go to another church. No. The destination of Christian, the whole point of having a church is that Christian will meet God. Amen. Come to Him. And that the condition of coming to Him, why you need the church? The Bible says this. Therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, the first purpose of having a church is that God wants you to live in the fear of God and come into His tangible, present, glorious presence of God. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt to go to the mountain. And God commanded them that you need to sanctify yourself for 2 days. And on the third day, I will show up. And then the Bible says He showed up as a cloud, as a fire on the mountain. The mountain was shaken. When God showed up, something happened. Amen. So the first purpose, I just discovered this lately, even though I have been practicing for 8 years. I shared with Pastor Da this morning on the way here. We started the church a long time ago. And you know the first reaction that I walked into the church meeting at that time in around 1989. I say to God, God, I feel that something is missing here. Something is missing in this meeting. We have all the methodology. We have all the textbook of how to build a church. I know how I learn how to preach, learn how to lead worship. I do everything according to the textbook. But something is missing here. And I keep talking to God. God, something is missing in this congregation. And I did not know until one day in 1996, I read the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, from Benny Hinn. And I find out what is missing in my church and your church is the tangible presence of God. It's the presence of the glory of God. And God showed up in the meeting like in that at that mountain. Amen. 2 days ago, Pastor Da shared with me something. And I tell you, when she shared that, it dawned on me. Pastor Da gave me permission to share this. She grew up with very dry skin. So her skin was very dry. And because of dryness of skin, sometimes the skin kind of break. And I know this. Actually, when I marry her, she say, are you sure you're going to marry me? I have dry skin. I say, I don't care, I love you. I don't care you have dry skin, whatever. I love you no matter what. So I marry her, and I know all along that she has dry skin. Last week, subtly, she showed me that her dry skin was completely healed. It's gone. No medication. Supernaturally. When she said that word, the Holy Spirit spoke to me right away. Son, do you know that all the things that happen in this church and in your life all these 8 years, you don't even know yourself, you don't even know what you're doing? But I tell you right now, deep inside your spirit, deep on the inside of you, you are protecting my glory. We have lost so many members. We have gone through a lot in this church. The only reason that I'm willing to lose people, I'm willing to lose friends, lose all the relationship, because I want to protect the presence of God in this church. Amen. Because my spirit is crying out for that day that the presence of God show up in that mountain. And Moses, you know what Moses say? One time God said to Moses like this, okay, I'm tired of all of you. I'm going to send angel to lead you to the promised land now, but I'm not going to go with you. You know what Moses say? Moses say, I cannot go without your glory. Amen. My dear brother and sister, this church will not be the real church of Jesus Christ without his presence. Amen. We welcome, we love the presence of God. We love the tangible glory and presence of God. My job is to bring you in here to meet him, not to meet me. We come to seek the presence of God together. This is what God say. A lot of people misunderstand the scripture. It's not about theory. It's about the real, you know, if I want to marry Da, I don't want just to marry her picture on the wall. I want to have her presence in my house. A lot of time Christians just want to have a picture of Jesus on the wall, talking about Jesus, but the presence of God is not there. And just running the mechanic of the church, but the presence of God is not there. I got the email from Susan Smith one day. Susan Smith, your wife, emailed me a joke. She said that a cowboy guy walked into the church with hat and long hair and tattoo. And the elder and the pastor of that church come to him and say, if you don't change your clothes to be more polite around here, you cannot come back here. You need to go back to God and pray that what kind of clothes you need to wear in the church. The man went back. I read her email. I still remember the story. The man went back and prayed. And he came back to the church the same clothes. So the pastor walked down and said, why don't you change your clothes? Why you have long hair and tattoo and all this stuff? And he said, I pray already. And God said, it's okay for me to come this way because I never show up here anyway. Do you get it? Sometimes you can have a church meeting, but God never show up. I want God to show up. Amen. I want the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The first reason you need to be in the local church, the family, because you need the presence of God. You need the tangible presence of God. Exodus chapter 29, 45 to 46 say, I will dwell among the children. I will dwell. The Bible talk about what? Tangible presence, glory of God. It's not just a picture of Jesus on the wall. Among the children of Israel, which means you and me too, by faith. Amen. And will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And that I may dwell, everyone said dwell. Among them, I am the Lord their God. God has wanted to dwell among his people since the book of Genesis. Since the first day he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God wants to come and dwell in the church again. I believe with all my heart that the end time church that Jesus is going to come back to meet is a church that welcome the outpouring of the Spirit of God and welcome the glory of God. And our church is going to be that kind of church.
Amen.
That we're going to welcome the tangible, glorious presence, thick kabod. The word kabod in the Hebrew language means heavy. Heavy, thick presence of God in the church. And you know what happened when you have the thick presence of God in our midst? What happened in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 10 to 12? The Bible says, so David would not move the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord contained the presence of God, the thick presence of God, with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed, everyone say blessed, Obed-Edom and all his household. Everyone say all of his household. That's what happened to Pastor Da. Because we welcome the presence of God, God healed her skin. Amen. God takes care of our sickness and disease. Now it was that told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and that the belong that all that belongs to him because of the, I want to change to today's word, tangible, thick presence, glorious presence of God. God bless the house that welcome the presence of God. Amen. The tangible presence of God. So David was not very happy. David went, brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. If you ask me what kind of church you join, I want to tell you right now, the church, this church, is the family of God that we will never be ashamed of the presence of God. Amen. And we can be welcome. And I pray that the presence of God in our church will be thicker and thicker and thicker. Amen. I don't mind that the building will be shaken here. Amen. Like in Acts chapter 12. Before I go on, God wants me to say this. The second reason why we need church family. I noticed one thing. That when God showed up, 2 things happen. Demons are not very happy. So some demon inside some people around here, I don't say the word you, because you may feel personal that I attack you. Demons in some people around here will not be happy. And you know what happened? The reaction is that you're going to start to get upset with me. Get mad at me. Get mad at the presence of God. Not only demons are not happy when the presence of God show up. Secondly, your flesh is not happy. You know why? Because our flesh is full of sin. So when the presence of God show up, I notice all the time people like, you make me feel uncomfortable. You make me feel uncomfortable, Pastor. I want to let you know right now, it's not about me. I have 2 choices, building the church that make everyone feel comfortable, or build a church that can welcome the presence of God and people get set free. Amen. I'd rather choose to build a church that the presence of God show up, and even though people feel uncomfortable, it's okay. But they will be set free.
Amen.
Therefore, please understand, every time your flesh starts to tell you, oh, I feel uncomfortable, you need to fight with it and come and say, no, I'm going to go close to the presence of God.
Amen.
If you hear any voice in your mind say, oh, this pastor make me feel uncomfortable, what is going on around here? You need to understand that is the demon, the voice of the demon talking to you. You need to love the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't run away from the presence of God. Love and honor the presence of God. I like what Pastor John Jack preached on Friday night. He said that God's ways are higher than our ways. Exactly what God spoke to me last week. God said, tell the congregation that my ways are not your ways. A lot of time people, you know, I am in the city that there are a lot of smart people around here. Very smart people, computer people, smart. And a lot of time things happen in the church. You use your own mind to analyze and try to judge what is going on. But I want to tell you right now, God's ways are higher than your way.
Amen.
God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Yes.
If you're going to come to God, you need to be humble and say, God, whatever you want to do, I surrender to you. You're going to come and criticize God and try to analyze God, what God wants to do in the church. You need to be humble and say, God, I'm going to come to you with my heart, not my head. You approach God with your heart, not with your head. Amen? Praise the Lord. So number one, I notice everyone feel very comfortable here. Number one, you need to be in a local church so that you learn how to fear God, obey God, and live in the presence of God. We train you to carry the presence, the tangible presence of God. The presence of God can be anywhere, not just in the church. I carry the presence of God in my car. Sometimes the presence of God came upon me while I was changing my clothes before surgery. I need to change to the blue clothes, and God just came, and I began to cry and laugh in the locker room in the hospital. I welcome the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
How many people say, I want to live in the presence of God all the days of my life? Amen. The second reason that why you need the church family. Second reason is that the church family make it clear that you are a real disciple of Jesus. You know, people can say, I'm a Christian, but only God knows. But if you join a local church, it's clear that you are the real disciple, because Jesus said this, John 13:35. But this all will know. How do you know? This was what Jesus said. All you know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. These brothers and sisters came from Romania. Romania. They are our brothers and sisters. Can you love them? How can you show tangible love by being in front of the TV? How you love people by in front of the TV? You need to be in a church and come and greet them and hug them and love them. Can I hug you? Love you. Praise God. Amen. You're in the local church to show love to one another. People of different backgrounds, people of different educations, different jobs, different financial status. You love them. We come to love. Because if you are a real disciple, you love one another. You show love to one another.
Amen.
That is the church. And that's a real, real disciple. Not just quote the scripture. Disciples are not just people who quote the scripture and know all the Bible verses. No. Disciples are those who love. Those who practice love. We have so many nationality here. Yesterday, Pastor Dennis from Olympia told me that, I'm jealous of you. You have international church. I like that. So that we can show love to people of different nationalities. Amen. It's wonderful to have international church. Because sometimes it's very difficult to love those who are different from you. Some people like to eat steak here. How many people like steak? How many people like sushi? Oh, interesting. How many people like pad thai? I remember when I noticed one thing. When we have lunch long time ago in our church, when we have sandwich, a group of people walk out, disappear on Sunday. But when we have stir-fried chicken with noodle. Oh, and that group stay, another group walk out. I can see here that to put people of international background together is a tough job to do. Because you have different interests, different kind of food to eat. But thank God this is the way you're going to show love to one another. That you say, I don't like stir-fried noodle, but I'm going to eat with you anyway. You may may say, I don't like sandwich. I don't like cold sandwich. I like grilled sandwich. But if we have cold sandwich to eat with Dawn and Susan Smith, I'm going to stay there anyway, because love is more important than food.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The church is a laboratory for you to practice love. Hallelujah. Do you notice one thing? As human beings, we have this nature. We have a nature of selfish isolation. We love to isolate ourselves. We love to be just me. God put church family in the world to get you out of that. To pull you out from selfish isolation. So it's not about me. My money, my workout time, my personal time. But God pull you out to put you together in this pot, in this body, so that you learn how to get out from selfish isolation. Amen. You learn how to mix together, talk together, spend time together, skip up your time on the week, during the weekday, to go to care group and spend time together. Because selfish isolation is not of God. God wants us to share. God wants us to build together. God wants us to be together. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, say, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. How many people can quote John chapter 3, verse 16? Quote to me right now. Amen. Thank you. Thank God. Do you remember John 3:16? John 3:16 is one of the most famous scripture in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son so that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But let's look at another one. Just put number one in front of John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Oh, this one you don't like to remember. You like John 3:16, but you don't like 1 John 3:16. Because this one says, you need to commit to one another to the level of Jesus commit his life to you. How does Jesus commit his life to you? He died for you. This is a standard in the church. Are you willing to die for Dwayne and Jocelyn? Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Jocelyn, Pat say amen, so you can give him some dinner. Pat is the first one who say amen. He's willing to die for you. Amen. How many people is willing to die for Pirate?
Amen.
Amen. I got the email from Phuket last week. This doctor, Dr. Jim, got one lady saved. This is a true story. Her husband is a drunk guy. He drink a lot. So he came back home and he was so mad at her that she turned to be Christian. He pulled out a big stick, ran to her to hit her. He was drunk. You know what? Pastor Jim stand in front of her, the new believer. But the anointing of God on her is so strong that this man walked to these two ladies. One lady is a pastor, Pastor Jim, who is willing to die for her sheep. He dropped the stick and walked away. What people say a while ago? He said, drop dead. This is like the disciple. Send the fire to burn them. No, God still loves that man. He wants to save him. Actually, I tell you, only people who drop dead in the church are those who lie to the Holy Spirit. Christians who lie to the Holy Spirit. So you can see that, you know, they love one another enough to die for one another. Pastor say, I'm going to let him hit me. I'm not going to let him hit my sheep. Amen. But thank God the anointing is so strong that he dropped and walked away. Wow, look like the book of Acts. Amen. So God wants to get rid of our selfishness, our isolation. You know, isolation causes damage to our life. We need to be together, accountable to one another. I want to say like this to all of you. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank everyone that you, your eyes are upon me, that I will not sin against God. Sometimes I want to sin against God and I think about 400 eyes in this room. They're watching me. If I sin, if I make some bad things, I will stumble you and you will disappear. So in order to save you, I need to say no to my flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And the same thing happened in the care group. You watch each other. You help each other. Because isolation is like living in darkness. If you try to hide yourself in darkness, you will sin against God. But if you come out from darkness to be in the light, to be together, it's harder for you to sin. Amen.
Amen.
So, another reason you should be in the family of God is that God wants to help you grow. He wants you to become like Christ. You cannot be like Christ by just sitting in front of the TV, watching great evangelists preaching in the TV. You cannot be like Christ by just going to the Christian bookstore, buy all the Christian bookstore and read yourself. No. You can grow by mixing yourself with other believers too. You need that. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everyone say every part. Does it share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The Bible says that in order to grow, you need to practice one another and each other in the local church. Love one another, pray for one another, confess your sin to each other, forgiving one another, spur one another up, pray for one another, submit to one another, exhort one another, encourage one another. There are about 30 to 50 one another and each other in the New Testament. You cannot grow without your brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God that God sent people of different kinds into the church to help you grow.
Yes.
You know, you may say, I'm the holy man. I'm so pure. I live in the jungle by myself. I'm so holy and pure because I live in the jungle by myself. That is a deception. You know what? If he sent Pat to be around you, you may find out that you're not that holy. Because Pat may get on your nerve. And you need to learn how to forgive. I don't say the last name though. Any Pat? Why people think about you? I don't understand that. The test of your righteous walk come when you go around people.
Amen.
If you are by yourself, you can say you're holy to the last day of your life, but it's a lie.
Yes.
Until somebody come close to you and start to get on your nerve. And you find out that you are not that holy. You are not that pure. Because you start to get mad. You begin to criticize. You begin to gossip. You begin to talk bad. You cannot hold your anger. You begin to download email. Shoot the email out. Make people mad at you when you download the email. Because you get mad at somebody. In the past, they used telephone. Now we use email. Download. Upload and download. Email. My dear brother and sister, the test of your character come when you are around people who don't always go the way you want. When you don't get what you want, and God going to test you whether you are patient, kind, loving, forgiving, or not. It's easy to be by yourself, do everything by yourself, then you never know that you grow or not. But once you start to work with Pat, you need to learn how to forgive him. Learn how to understand his weaknesses. Amen. I thank God for my wife. She helps me a lot. God used her to shape my life a lot. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. You grow more when you are around people, because they're going to come and help you. They come and help you to grow by what? Maybe giving testimony, maybe encourage you to do something, challenge you, correct you, pray for you. You need one another. Let's say at the same time, we need each other. To grow in the Lord. Amen. Another thing. Are you tired? Do you want me to stop?
No.
Let's continue a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, the church needs you. God gives you the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, to give profit to everyone in the whole church. God gives you gifts, not for yourself, but for others. The church needs you. Allison, the church needs you.
Amen.
David Schoenemann, where is he? The church needs you.
Amen.
Amen. We need you. The church will not be healthy without you. We need you. We need you, Helen. You may not know how much I have been encouraged by seeing you here and Chuck. Thinking about you a lot, actually. And I'm so glad to see your children. Amen. We need you. The church needs your gifts, needs your talents to help grow the church together. Amen. You notice one thing, that Jesus never promised to build your ministry. Jesus promised to build the church. So God gives the gift to you not to build your own ministry. Let me repeat one more time. God gives you the gift not to build your own ministry. Oh, my care group, my unit, my evangelistic crusade ministry. I am evangelist. I'm going to build my ministry as evangelist. I'm not attacking evangelists. Don't take me wrong. I'm just give example. Oh, I am a teacher. I'm going to build my ministry of teaching. No, 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 no. God is never promised to build your ministry. God say, I will build my church. And you use your gift to build the church.
Amen.
Not to build your own ministry on your own name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Care group leader, you run the care group to build the church, not to build your own care group. If you have that attitude, oh, I'm a great care group leader, I'm going to build my care group. Yeah. You have wrong attitudes. It's not about your care group. It's about the church.
Amen.
It's about we together.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Not only that, you need the church so that you will be able to share the responsibility to reach to the whole world together. God wants to reach the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
Who knows? Maybe one day we can go to Romania to start a church.
Amen.
Amen. One day we may go to Mexico.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is preparing the servant of God here to go to Mexico. Amen. I have a vision that we will have a Latino speaking church here together. Amen.
Amen.
Please pray for Victor and Lorena that we're going to have the Latino speaking church in Seattle, the full of the glory of God and the word of God. Amen. Who knows, one day we may go to Philippines. We together will go to Philippines. I mean, we as a representative of the church go to Philippines. Amen.
Amen.
How about Japan?
We
go to Japan. Go to Taiwan.
Yeah.
Amen. Angela. Hopefully we can go to Taiwan one day. Amen. And Pastor William will go there. I didn't say last name. Amen. So God wants us to reach out to the whole world. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God wants us to have the privilege of reaching out to the whole world through the church. We cannot do by ourselves. You cannot do by yourself. We together gonna reach out to the whole world with other parts of the body of Christ. Amen. Another thing, you need a church to prevent you from backsliding. How many people agree with me that you are not immune to temptation? If the right situation comes, I give you example. I put you in the room by yourself, okay? And then I will put $1 million on the table in front of you. And no one around for 10 days. No one claimed to own that $1 million. And just $1 million sitting there. If you stay there long enough, I can guarantee you are tempted to pick that $1 million, put in your pocket and walk away. Because we are not immune to temptation. We all can fall. We all can make mistakes. We all can sin against God. But the church of God will be the place that you have a brother keeper. Brother keeper to check up on you. That is in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. The Bible says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." God say that, don't say this word, "I mind my own business." No, 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 no. You are not minding your own business. You work together, help each other so that no one will sin against God in this church. Amen. I tell you right now, if I see any young man and young woman in this church start to go off together and start to spend time in the secretary place or secret place together and at night without getting married and to start to have this kind of secrecy between them, I and Pastor Da are going to come to you and say, "You need to repent. Don't do this because you are putting yourself in a situation that you may have sexual immorality. I'm going to warn you. And if you get mad at me, it's okay. Because we need to watch one another." Amen. Amen. In the local church. Pastor, if they are too big, if I go warn somebody and that guy is bigger than me, and he look at me like this, I'm going to send Pastor Caesar. If Pastor Caesar cannot take care, I send Chuck. Chuck, could you stand up? I'm kidding. We don't use that kind of strength in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 19, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back," we need to help each other to turn back from sin and from the lies of the enemy. And God put leaders in the church to be your protector. Amen. God put godly leaders in the church to warn you, to correct you, to help you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive for those who watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." My dear brother and sister, we are in the church so that we will not backslide. We will not sin against God. Let me make a conclusion here. When you join a local church, you will have six blessings. Not five, six blessings. I read to you. Number one, the presence of God to live in. Amen. Number two, a purpose to live for. Amen. Number three, people to live with. Number four, principle to live by. Number five, a profession to live out. Number six, power to live on. Amen. Six P, presence of God, purpose of life, people that you will not be lonely anymore. You have true friends in the church. Principle to live by, profession to live or out, mean confession of your faith. Power to live on. Let me make a conclusion here. When you were born physically into the world, you became a member of the humanity, the whole world. When you were born again, you become a member of the universal church. But each kid needs to join a local family to be nurtured, to be taken care of, to be protected and trained. The same thing, each Christian needs to have a local family of God to take care of them. Every Christian should join a local church, should be a member of a local church. You have two choices. One choice is to be just attendees of the church. Another choice is to be members of the church. What are attendees doing? Attendees are spectators, consumers. No responsibility, no commitment. But members are those who participate, contribute, commit, get involved, share responsibilities. Christians who go to church without being a part of the local church for a long time is like a husband and wife who get married and say, I'm not going to be responsible for you. I'm not going to go out and work and feed you. I'm going to come here and have only fun, but I'm not going to be responsible for your life. That is not a family. That is a hotel. A church is not a hotel. The church is a family. Christian in the early church understand this. That's why it's saying in Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship. They fellowship. They commit their life together. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:5. I read this and I end. And not only we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. If you say you love Jesus and you devote yourself to Jesus, to the Lord, you will devote yourself to one another as well. Christians who really love Jesus will love the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. You don't want to marry a woman, only her head. You want to marry the whole person, the head and the body. If you love the church, you love Jesus. Do you love the church? I'm not talking about the whole universe, or the whole world. You cannot love everyone in the whole world, but you can love at least your local congregation. Love the church. Commit to your local church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we believe, Lord, that your word will never go in vain. It will produce fruit. It will, Lord, reap the harvest. Father, I pray that those who listen to this sermon in the website and through the CD or even through the iPod, will, Lord, repent and make the right choice to follow Jesus and to make the commitment to God to be in the local church. Thank you, Lord, for your teaching. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Some of you here may never invite Jesus, never have Jesus in your heart. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart right now. I'm not asking you to join a religion, but to have a relationship with God. I would like to lead you to prayer, the prayer of salvation, a prayer that will change your destiny. The Bible says that we are all sinners and we have to pay for our sins. But Jesus, the Son of God, came and died on the cross to pay for our sin. And if you invite Him and you receive Him into your life, your sins will be forgiven. And you have a new life. If you are not sure today that you are born again, maybe you have gone to church before, you think you're Christian, but you're not sure. I want to encourage you to pray with me for sure today that you are a child of God. You give your life to Jesus. You like to pray with me? Why don't we pray together? Close our eyes and pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, I am a sinner. I want to repent of my sin. I turn away from my wicked ways. And now I want to follow you. Lord, thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You were raised from the dead on the third day. I believe in you. Jesus, come into my life right now. Become my Savior and my God. Come in right now. In Jesus' name. I need you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Pastor Da would like to meet those who just accepted Christ or just pray. Just pray the first time. She's standing at the door there. And if you would like to just follow her to another room, she has some gift to give to you and greet you. Amen. Just meet Pastor Da at the door. And she would like to give something to you and bless you. Just come and why don't we stand up while people are leaving to join Pastor Da? If you just pray that prayer, just join Pastor Da. Amen. Maybe your friend can take you out to Pastor Da together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song, I Love This Family of God. This family of God, so closely knit into one.
This great family.
Why did you go and hug and greet and shake hands with as many people as you can and say you love them and say thank you for being in the house of God here? I appreciate you. Go and greet people of different nations, different backgrounds.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.